Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Barbecue Bob and I are going to take a back seat to some experts, and we've had the opportunity to invite some people in today. And Barbecue Bob, take it away, brother.
Well, I think we're going to let Mr. Steve Siciliano set up the scene here, because being a good friend of the show and a sponsor, contributor, and, of course, our favorite beer guy, he came up with this idea. So, Steve, just tell us how this all happened and the relevance you see here. To
Yeah, about maybe a month ago, a month and a half ago, I got an email from Christy Switzer, who is the publisher of Brewers Publications, and had formed a relationship with Christy in the past, and she asked me if we'd be willing to help put an itinerary together for John Palmer, because he's promoting his new book. And it took me about 2 seconds to say yes. And so Christy and I were emailing back and forth, and we put this together. And you know what, guys? One of the things I thought of right off the bat was your show. I thought that would just go fantastic with your show. And knowing the type of guy John Palmer is, and knowing the type of guys you are, basically beer lovers, I thought it'd fit right in. So
well,
that's why
absolutely
we're here.
Does.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Jop sent me a text. You actually filled in for me a month or so ago when I was in Montana or something.
Yeah.
And I think you guys talked about this idea, and Jop sent me a text as soon as you got done doing the show going, okay, put this in your book.
Yeah.
And this guy's coming in.
Right. I'm glad it worked out.
That's
and,
cool.
I can't wait for John to get on the air and talk about all his knowledge. He's just a great guy.
So with no further ado, John Palmer, a Midland native.
Yes. Yep. Grew up in Midland and graduated from Michigan Tech.
Now a SoCal boy.
Yeah. Now been living in Southern California for about 27 years now. And I went out there originally for aerospace after I graduated. Did that for quite a while. But home brewing was my first real hobby. You know, you get married, realize you need a hobby. And there it was.
Well, brewing makes marriage easier. I'm a firm believer of that. So I can see where that natural connection happened. But
I don't get the whole get married and you need a hobby part.
Right.
I don't know about that. I thought that.
That's what man caves are for, Bob, and finished garages, right?
Yeah. That's, okay, now I see the time.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Right?
Exactly. It justifies all the other expenses.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So you went to Michigan Tech, and you go out to California, and we're in Michigan is where the show is broadcast out of, but we're all over the country. And so tell me about the craft beer scene in California, because we here in Michigan, especially West Michigan, we call ourselves Beer City USA, and there's a huge movement here. And we just what took you to California was the work, but is there a big brewing scene out there as well?
Oh, there is, yeah. West Coast IPAs are actually not Michigan's West Coast, as you would imagine, but California.
That's a style.
Yeah, it's a style of beer with a lighter malt body and a little heavier hopping. That's been going strong for a long time. I moved out there in '88 when the big beer on the market was Corona, just debuted, and Bud Ice and Bud Dry were mainstays. And I longed for the darker, richer beers that I had here in Michigan. So that's what got me into home brewing way back when.
So West Coast IPA, is there a blend of hops that's prevalent for a West Coast IPA?
Like sure,
Citra and Cascade, something like that?
Yeah, Cascade was like the original craft beer hop. And then there was a few other sea hops, as we call them, Chinook, Centennial, then Citra came along, and that's a relatively new one. I guess, early mid-2000s, that debuted.
Incredibly popular, though.
Yeah, very nice tropical fruit overtones to it. Really blends well with Cascade and Centennial, giving a nice, more tropical edge to the citrusy character of
hops. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're talking with John Palmer, author of several books, his latest, How to Brew. Is that your latest?
Yes,
the
latest
edition. Did I say that properly? Because you have like three of them here, so
we
want to get into those books a little bit later, but that's quite an accomplishment, three books on brewing. And Siciliano's Market, of course, carries all your books and probably sells a ton of them.
Yep.
So that's good to know. I don't think of things like that. When I go in there, I just head to the beer aisle, and, well, one of six beer aisles. I don't know how many there are there, but and then I head into the humidor and grab. But that whole brewing side is just it's huge for them.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a great hobby to get into.
So, John, when you started brewing, where did you start with regard to a variety of beer or a style of beer? If somebody were just thinking about doing this,
sure.
where do we enter?
Well, that's the beautiful thing about it is that brewing is a process like cooking. So you guys, of course, barbecuing. You know, once you learn the basic concepts of barbecue, you can start applying that to any cut of meat, and then learning what makes more advanced techniques and different cuts of meat work well. Well, it's the same in brewing. You start out with some basic beers like a pale ale or a brown ale, very easy beers to brew. Stouts are another easy category. But once you master the techniques, the basic techniques on doing the boil, adding your hops, and fermenting the beer, which is actually the really important part. Once you've mastered those, now you can go on and brew any style of beer you want. Anything you can buy in the store, you can brew at home.
So let me ask you then, why is it the browns and the stouts are more forgiving? What makes them easier? Higher sugar?
No, actually. It's the heavier flavors of brown ales and stouts imparted by what we call specialty malts. These are the darker caramel, toasted, roasted, coffee-like flavors. Those flavors help mask some of the beginner mistakes, the little off flavors that occur during fermentation, makes them a little more forgiving style.
John, let me take a step back. For those that don't know, what are the three or four ingredients that are in beer? Because you just kind of mentioned a few of those, and maybe our listeners aren't familiar with all the ingredients that are in that beginner beer.
Sure. Beer is composed of four main ingredients. You have your malt, which is barley, and malt just refers to the fact that it's allowed to sprout briefly before they dry it out and save it for the brewer. You have your malts. You have your hops, which are the bittering and the seasoning that go in the beer. You have the yeast, which is controls the fermentation. And there's actually, of those three ingredients, the malt, the hops, and the yeast, those impart the bulk of the flavors to the beer. You can brew different beers just by varying any one of those ingredients.
The quantities.
Yeah.
How long you steep, how long.
Yeah, all those factors.
Because the malts actually create all the sugar, right?
The malts create the sugars that the yeast ferment into alcohol and carbon dioxide, yes.
Yeah, so the fourth ingredient's water?
Fourth ingredient's water.
Right.
And water is very important, too, and I'm kind of a specialist on water. Water, the minerals in the water impart the seasoning to the beer, just like when you salt your food. Very same principles. The pH that gets imparted to the beer controls the expression of those beer flavors to your palate. So water affects pH, which affects the expression of the flavors as well.
So here in West Michigan, we've been told we have great water for beer making, which is why we produce some of the greatest beers that we do. But is there a portion of our city here, a large portion, is on a water system where the water is chlorinated?
Over-chlorinated.
Can you use that water and make good beer, or is that a no-no?
Oh, yeah, you can. You have to treat it, and that's part of what the water book gets into is water treatment. But essentially, when you're working with a tap water source that's chlorinated, you need to remove that chlorine either through activated carbon filtration, which many people have in their home, or other chemical means such as sodium metabisulfite tablets, otherwise known as Camden tablets. You put those in the water. That neutralizes the sulfide.
So you're testing your water before you brew it. You're getting your water balanced out before you even start your brew.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, on the next segment, we should talk about the equipment that you need.
Sure.
Because I think people that always say they wanted to try brewing might think it's cost prohibitive, and I think they'd be shocked to see how cheaply you can actually start brewing.
Oh, yeah. It's easy to get into and...
You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Brewing Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.